So would you like to be a success in your Christian? Would you like to be... I'll start over. Would you like to enter heaven as a winner? Or just barely by the skin of your teeth? Would you like to be effective and productive as a Christian, you know, the 30, 60, 100-fold, or ineffective and unproductive? Would you like to be protected against falling away from Christ just by doing some simple things, being reflective, systematic, and deliberate in your Christian life? When Peter learned from the Lord that he was going to die soon, he wrote another letter, we call it 2 Peter, to the people that he'd pastored, the people that he'd led to Christ, because he had a great desire to be sure that they wouldn't fall away, to be sure that they would have success in their Christian life. And as your pastor, I have that passion. I have a great desire to make sure that none of us fall away from Christ, whether I'm here with you or whether I'm gone. And I have a great passion that all of us get fully equipped to live the Christian life and to be able to share that with others. As we look at Peter's words today, we'll see the kind of godliness Peter wants in their lives, that it's necessary, that it's possible, and that it's your choice. Never. All right. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us this very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add faith, to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted, blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to conform your calling and to confirm your calling and election. If you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Someone might just turn off that power strip down there, see if that helps. Wow, a rich welcome into heaven. Now that is a goal worth going for. Just last week, Betty Day was in the service, and she shared how they're aware that they're getting closer to heaven. And praise God, they're excited about it. Like almost everybody else, they want just a little more time, but they're excited about the prospect of going into heaven. But we won't receive a rich welcome in heaven if we don't develop godliness in our lives here and now. For godliness is necessary to succeed as Christians. You know, I'm making a distinction between qualifying for heaven, getting into heaven, which is by God's grace, and succeeding on the other side is succeeding as Christians, which comes out of godly living godly lives. Peter says, starting in verse 8, "For if you possess these qualities," and we'll go through those qualities in a minute, "for if you possess these qualities, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have these is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins." Two things in this little passage stand out to me right off. First, on the negative side, it is possible to be ineffective and unproductive as a Christian. Ouch. That hurts. Being ineffective and unproductive usually gets you fired in most jobs. It's the kind of thing that can make your supervisor frustrated with you, upset with you. And if they were your friend beforehand, it'll harm your relationship. And guess what? Who's our supervisor as a Christian? God is our supervisor. Jesus Christ. You know, something else. Not just that relationship, but also being ineffective and unproductive can leave you feeling dissatisfied. It can leave you wanting a different job or wanting some training. It leaves us unfulfilled. If all that's ever happened to you in your Christian life is that you prayed a prayer and accepted Jesus once, I feel sorry for you. You're not getting all you can get out of being a Christian. Maybe you should even ask yourself, ask God, do I even have a relationship with you? The positive, the flip side, is that Peter's telling us we can be effective. We can be productive. That's what Peter wants to see in his people. For if you possess these qualities, in increasing measure, they'll keep you from these things. And so, it is possible to live effective, productive lives as Christians. Praise God for the help of the Holy Spirit, that with that we can live lives pleasing and productive. The comparison or this contrast between productive and unproductive lives reminds me of the story, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came and the storm and the flood, and it stood firm. But the foolish man, it's over in Luke chapter 5. The foolish man who built, as the NIV says, without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. With a call to godliness, someone may say, "Hey, Pastor, I mean, that's easy for you to say. You haven't done the things I've done. You haven't seen the things I've seen." But if we read God's word, if we read what Peter says, it proclaims that godliness is possible for every Christian, not just the ones who only did a little bit of sinning. Remember, none of us is so good that we don't need God's grace. I need God's grace. You need God's grace. And so does the best person we can think of, man or woman. He or she needs God's grace and forgiveness. So, how is godliness possible for every Christian? It's through God's gifts to us, through our knowledge of Him, through His promises, and through participation in His divine nature. So we're at verses 3 and 4 now. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evildoers. How long ago was New Year's Day? Forever. Well, a little over a month. So, how you doing with your resolutions? Did you set any? All right. Well, that's not the common average. Most people have given up on their resolutions by now. A lot of times it's because we don't set good resolutions. We set absolutes. You know, I'm going to read this much every day. We give up on that when there's 35 pages ahead of us to read or something. But, you know, I'm going to consistently read. And when I fall down, I'm going to read, you know, an amount each day that I come to it. It's more attainable if you set right goals, but that's not the point here. Yep, did you set any? Actually, I didn't set any because I've had trouble with them. But I do want to lose weight. I do want to do better in my own personal devotions. The first point from that passage is that through our knowledge of Him, it doesn't mean through our head knowledge. You know, I know there was a person called Betsy Ross that had something to do with the American flag. But I know Pam personally. There's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. So through knowing Him, we receive divine power to do for a godly life. How else? Well, through His promises. You know, what kind of promises? He says His great and precious promises. In fact, He says His very great and precious promises. The promise of salvation to all who believe and receive Him as their Savior, as their great and precious, is a great and precious promise. Amen? Amen? How do we know about these promises? Well, we go back to the first thing, through the study of His Word, by spending time with Him in prayer and in meditation. The third, you know, we receive divine power for godly living through participation in His divine nature. What does that mean, participation in His divine nature? Does it mean God's going to give us the power, His power, so we can create worlds, speak them into being? Good. Nobody jumped on that. No, it does not. But we can have the mind of Christ, as Paul says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, that is, which is also in Christ Jesus. God will begin to put His mind in you as you put your mind in His Word, as you put your mind into obedience and prayer and meditation on His Word. Isn't that what Brandon Heath had in mind in his song, Give Me Your Eyes? The chorus says, give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your eyes for humanity. As we get more of the mind of Christ, we're going to see the world differently. We'll see the world more through the eyes of Christ. And we'll start taking on His cares and concerns for others, His cares and concerns also for how we're living every day. Godliness, growing in grace, comes, according to Peter, with a set of keys. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection love. So he starts with faith, and we'd better start there. Your firm conviction that God is and that He cares, you know, is the starting point of a Christian walk. Without faith, you can't see God. Hebrews 11:6. To faith, Peter adds goodness, excellence in your morals. After you've worked on that a while, he says, add knowledge. more of getting to know Christ through His Word. Like I said, I know about Betsy Ross, but I really know Pam. When you have made some progress in knowledge, then he says, work on self-control. Maybe as you've gained knowledge, you've learned about something. You felt convicted about something that you never worried about in the past. And now he says, use your self-control. Maybe God just pointed out to you something. Yep, use your self-control, partnering with His will, with God's desire. To self-control, He said, we're supposed to add perseverance. They say it takes 21 days to develop a habit or to break a habit. I say, I've got enough willpower to do almost anything for 21 days or not do something for 21 days. It's the 22nd day that I seem to need God's help and perseverance. But, you know, to go beyond human strength, to make a real change, I need God's help. I can't do it on willpower alone. To perseverance, what does he say to add? Godliness, thank you. You know, if you get to this point, next you should add godliness or God-leaning attitude. You know, like the bracelet. What would Jesus do? If your heart's going, what would Jesus do? I think you're adding godliness to your life. So after you've worked on godliness a while, what's next? Mutual affection or brotherly love, as it's sometimes translated, and far too often we can see conflicts, you know, at home, at work, at play, at worship, and where people live, where, man, just a little more brotherly love, just a little more understanding would sure make things go smoother. To all this, what's the last component? Love. And the word there is agape. You know, when Peter was being reinstated by Jesus, Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me? The first 2 times, he used the word agape, the kind of love that Jesus referred to how the Father loved him in John 17:26. It's that same word. So add to our brotherly love this kind of love that God wanted to see in Peter. When he talked to him, you know, twice he used that word, the agape, godly love. And Peter said, yes, I love you as a friend each time. Yes, I love you as a friend. And then the last time he's asked, you know, Peter, do you love me? And the word there is, do you love me as a friend? And it says Peter was hurt that Jesus, you know, asked him, do you even love me as a friend? And that's the kind of love that Peter wants us to add to our list. So it's a pretty high calling, a lot of things. It's a fairly long list. I can't turn away now that the mic is attached to my head. You know, some unanswered questions in my mind is this order of steps important? Do you have to go exactly in this order? Well, probably not, but certainly you're not going to reach agape love. You can't do that first off. So maybe the order has some importance. And once you've completed the list, are you done? You get a certificate. You can. Your barns are full. You can say, soul, rest. Yeah, not likely. So nope. In reality, if we think we've finished the list, we should probably start over and just keep doing it again, like they say, working the steps or whatever. So verse 10, in godliness is your choice. That's why he's urging them to choose it. You. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you get to heaven without working out your faith in this way? Now, the thief on the cross, he didn't have much of a chance to do anything beyond receiving Christ and dying. But can any of you tell me the name of a parable that has a wicked and lazy servant that gets into heaven? You know, the parable about the talents, the wicked and lazy servant doesn't get into heaven by the skin of his teeth. He's tossed out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing. It's in Matthew chapter 25. If you want to find any hint in the scriptures that you can get to heaven by doing the least possible, you have to skip the Gospels, skip Acts, skip Romans. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, let's see, it says that every man's works will be tested by fire. And some will be praised. It's in chapter 3, verse 15. Others who've done nothing that lasts, says, if it is burned up, the things they did in their life, if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved, even though only as one escaping the flames. So you can choose godliness, or you can, with its rewards in this life, with its rewards in the next, or you can choose not to pursue godliness. And it still might work out for you, but it's your choice. Peter wrote this letter with concern for the believers that they wouldn't fall away. The truth is, we seem to either be growing or drifting away. And growing in Christ takes work. But Peter says that through knowledge of Him, through His promises, through participation in the divine nature, godliness is possible. He gives us, you know, 8 areas to work on. And then encourages us to make our election sure. God gave us His Spirit to live great lives for Him. I encourage you to believe God's word that godliness is necessary, that it's possible, and it's your choice. And won't you make the right choice? Like Peter, my passion is to see us all firmly established in Christ. I'm counting on seeing you in heaven someday. I'm counting on you working in these areas, just like a step study. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that you do call us, you do equip us, and it's possible for us to please you when we partner with your Holy Spirit. Help us to make that choice. Help us to keep that choice. Help us to work through these things Peter mentioned as a discipline through the year. And when we get to the end of the list, to start over again. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.